And greet everyone on this fair and beautiful day, this day that we commemorate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Actually, to say commemorate is sort of giving it very shallow praise. The resurrection of Jesus Christ imbues us with life. It is our reason for being alive, and it is indeed his reason for becoming man. This is the prologue of St. John that we read in the first on Pascha. We're beginning to read the Gospel of St. John now. And I've questioned before, why do we read this Gospel rather than one of the Gospels about the resurrection? Because there are Gospels about the resurrection. There are 11 of them, really 12. We read 11 of them during Matins, sequentially throughout the year. But the first resurrectional Gospel is from St. Matthew, talks about the soldiers being bribed and such. That's only read on Holy Saturday. So why is it that we read the Gospel of John? First, I must apologize to you. I should have had my act a little bit more together. I should have had the sermon of Patriarch Kirill to read to you, and I should have had it in both languages so it could have been read. But I didn't do that because I did remember, but it was kind of late getting away from the house so that I could make sure to do all the commemorations for liturgy, and so I didn't print it off. It's just hard to keep all of the plates in the air. Some of them have fallen to the ground in this past month or so for me. Why is it that we read the Gospel of John instead of the resurrection? I've never really seen an absolute explanation about it, except, of course, it is true that we're going to be reading the Gospel of John now during the Pentecostarian period. Well, why do we read it during the Pentecostarian period? Because St. John's Gospel are the greatest words ever written. They're the most theologically profound words there are. There's nothing that has more depth, more profundity than the Gospel of John. He wrote it last. He wrote it after the other three Gospels. He had those for comparison. And if you can see, he doesn't cover many, many things that are in the Synoptic Gospels, because he wants us to know Jesus Christ. He wants to tell us about the God-man Jesus Christ, both as God and as man. That's where we learn about Jesus Christ especially. And since Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we remember with a special solemnity today that he rose from the dead, it stands the reason that we want to now learn more of him. Just like there would be a deeper catechesis of catechumens after they've been baptized and enlightened. So we're reading the Gospel of John for this reason throughout the Pentecostarian period, because it reveals, for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, the God-man Jesus Christ, his personality, who he is, what is important to him, how he acts in every situation. It also attempts, as far as a human being can attempt, to explore, to discuss, to theologize regarding the union of God and man. Union, but not mixing. United, not divided, but not mixed. How can it be that the one who created the universe also becomes a very small person in that universe? So small that he was crucified by a crown. And St. John speaks of this many, many times. But it's in mystical language, and it takes years of repentance to be able to understand the Gospel of St. John. It's not about word studies or anything like that. John's Gospel is actually very simple Greek. Somebody who's taken a semester of New Testament Greek can read John's Gospel. I was able to do it. Not that I could understand it, but I could read it. I could understand the words. I could understand what the basic syntax was and the basic meaning of the words, but not the theological meaning of the words. But why on this day do we read the Gospel of St. John? I think it's because the resurrection is only understood if we understand Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is everything. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection. So why should we speak about the event of the resurrection as a historical event, when we can speak about the person of the resurrection, which is Jesus Christ. So that's why we read the Gospel of John, in my opinion. On this day, we read it especially because it's revealing to us about Jesus Christ, about his incarnation. When I read the Gospel, when I read anything, I always read it in sort of a practical way, which is, my wife would laugh. I don't think there's probably a practical bone in my body, but not in terms of in the world and things. I don't do things very practically sometimes. When I read the Gospel, I read it in a very practical way. And what I mean by this is that I read it in a way to teach me how to change. Something I need to know about myself, something I need to know about my sins or my virtues, my strengths or my weaknesses, about God, about the angels, about the saints, something that will be edifying that changes me in some way. And when I read about Jesus Christ, such as in this gospel selection, which is preeminently describing Jesus Christ, it's called, I don't know if the fathers called it this, but we call it the prologue, St. John's prologue. It's very much like Genesis. It's kind of Genesis-like, like the first chapter of Genesis. When I read it, I know that I must learn to be like Christ. So that's the whole purpose of the resurrection. The resurrection is so that we can become perfect. It's a glorious and a beautiful thing. So what we are celebrating today is not a historical event. We are, of course, it is a historical event, but that's not primary. It's not at all primary. We're not celebrating all the beauty and the festivity and all the other things that are wrapped around this feast. What we're celebrating is that we, who are clay, can become gold. We can become fine rubies and pearls. We can become perfected. That's what we're celebrating. This is possible because the God-man Jesus Christ conquered death, a foe that we could not conquer no matter how much we would try, so that now we can be free of death. And if we're free of death, then we're free of sin, which causes death. Then we can be free and be with God. So it stands to reason, since the whole purpose of our life, according to probably my favorite scripture, 17:3, St. John, "And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." According to that scripture, and many other places in the scripture, it's all over the place, our purpose in life is to know God. And you cannot know God without becoming like him. Because if you're not like him, you can't understand him. So we are speaking of God today in the gospel, the God who became man and who died and rose again and sent his Holy Spirit to us so that we could become perfected. So that's what we are celebrating especially. We are celebrating our resurrection. And our resurrection is an occurring event. It's not complete yet, but it is occurring. Remember what the Lord said when he first began his ministry. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of heaven is drawn near." The kingdom of heaven is in here. This is what heaven is. Heaven is who you become so that you can be with the one who made you. This is what we are celebrating today. And it is a glorious and a beautiful, splendid feast. I want to greet everyone that is watching right now. And I hope you're not just watching, but you're also praying. You have a podvig that we're trying to participate in your podvig, but your podvig is a great struggle. That means spiritual struggle. It's a spiritual struggle. It's a Russian word. Even people that don't know Russian, if they're Orthodox, they generally know what podvig is. And in fact, they even know it in our heart. It's because they've had podvigs and experienced them. So I can tell you that that's one Russian word I know what it means. You have a struggle right now. Because here you are at home and you're not at church. You didn't participate in the procession, you can't greet people in the flesh, you can't partake of the holy mysteries tonight. This is a podvig, a spiritual struggle. But I will tell you again what I've said many times, And I think there are some people that don't believe this. They think it's just kind of like wishful thinking or just kind of a hackneyed kind of thing. I don't mean it. I don't say hackneyed things. I mean, except for, you know, my jokes are kind of corny. But other than that, when I speak of spiritual things, I'm very serious. That you can have so much grace from this struggle in this feast. Because God doesn't need you to be inside the walls of a church for Him to give you grace. I recently saw something, like many people do, on social media. I won't tell you about it because it wouldn't enlighten you. It was kind of a dark thing. It was kind of a complaint. I mean, you know, that's basically the official thing you do on social media, is complain about this guy and that guy and this thing and that thing. I thought, this is missing the point. Whether the complaint was valid or not, it doesn't even matter to me. It's missing the point. You are where you are right now. Hopefully you're home with your computer or your phone or your laptop or something and praying with us, and that you've kept the fast, and that you will break the fast at the end of the liturgy with us, that you should be content with where you are and what you are doing, just as we should be content with where we are and what we are doing. Being content doesn't mean that you don't want to change. Christians are content. They are content. One of the things that St. John the Baptist told people when they were asking, what should we do, right? He told the soldiers, be content with your pay. Because otherwise, of course, they would extort pay from people. They would take money from people by force. Contentment is a great Christian virtue. This is a virtue that's not very well known in modern times. We don't really do contentment very well because we're living so fast and we expect to be served. So this is a time for you to try to be content. Obviously, you want things to change. I don't want this to go on for very much longer. But to be content, to pray, to keep the fast, and then to keep the feast, to pray the Paschal Hours every day of the week during this bright week, to greet one another, whether it be in person or whether it just be on phone or in a video chat, this will bring great grace to you. And remember that the whole point now of your theological life should be to know Christ. Because that's the whole purpose of your life. If you don't know Christ, you know nothing. And the way to know Christ is to become like Him. So I greet you, especially those who are not in our midst physically, although you're very much in my heart. It's almost as if I can see you in my mind's eye as I look out upon the congregation here with a lot of empty space by the laws of physics, but not by spiritual laws. It's not an empty space spiritually. So may God bless you and help you. Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
Christos voskrese.
Christos
anesti.
Christos anesti.